Viviamo, viviamo negli eti codici che la bellezza infiora e là fuggevo, fuggevo ora si deriva voluta.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Now, I could listen to that all morning.
Nice choice with Pavarotti.
Right? You cannot go wrong with the man, Pavarotti. Here it is. How could you not love that? I mean, seriously. And if you're in your car right now, you can just nod your head side to side. It's wonderful. If you haven't guessed, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And we're talking with Cody Martin, who is the music director at the Pensacola Opera, getting ready for their opening show this season, La Traviata, Verdi.
Yes.
I'm so excited. This is one of my favorites. And I was saying earlier that this is music that if you've never been to the opera, I would really encourage you to come see this one, because this is one you're going to recognize the music. You've heard this before, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, especially that tune you just played. It's the drinking song from Act One. They're at a big party, and they're all drinking champagne. And
count on me to find the drinking song.
Right? It's one of those things that's been in commercials and movies and everything. So,
oh, yeah. I have so many images come to mind when I hear that.
It just makes you feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And isn't that part of it? Isn't that the whole deal?
Absolutely. And the whole evening is, it's one of the most beautiful operas ever written, I think, which is why it's so popular. It's always in, the top 10 most performed operas every year around the world.
I believe that,
It's been, seen all in companies small to the biggest, and it's always a favorite.
We'll talk a bit, Cody, about the Pensacola Opera, because we are so fortunate, I believe. I'm a big arts fan, as you know, and we are so fortunate to have such great arts organizations. But you're a professional Pensacola Opera. You are a professional organization that brings in stellar artists. I mean, I've never seen a bad production, ever.
Yeah, I mean, we're really proud of the work we do. And like you said, we bring in artists from around the country, sometimes around the world, depending on circumstances. But we get really great artists. It's people that have sung here before and some people that haven't. So Traviata is a lot of people who have been here before and have audiences have come to know them and love them. And Carousel is full of a bunch of people who have not sung with us before, and they're all making their debuts with us.
So you mean Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, I meant. Yes.
We were talking about
the other Rodgers and Hammerstein. Yes.
So that's the second show that's happening is Oklahoma.
Yes.
Now, who doesn't know the music from that?
I mean,
really. And that's exciting, too. And there's a bit of a story behind that bringing that to the opera.
Yeah, we had a board member who really loved when we did Carousel a few years ago, and she wanted to help us do another musical. And she unfortunately passed away last year, so this production is in memory of her, and we're really excited to be doing it.
And that's and when will that happen?
That will be in March. That one's March 13th to 15th.
So if I wanted to buy tickets for the season, which would include both of those shows, how does that work?
So we have a subscription. We'll do both shows, and they start at $46 for the lowest price level, and that'll get you the same seats for both shows, and it's a subscription, so at the after the season's over, you'll get a letter asking if you want to renew for next year, and your seats are held, so it's a really great deal, and it also comes with the discounts if you want to come to the Friday night, the Meet the Artist reception, or the Sunday, the Champagne Brunch. You get discounts on those if you're a subscriber.
Oh, how nice. I love those events. That's a great way to meet the artists and then see them on stage. It's very intimate. It's really neat. And all the operas are done at the Sanger Theater.
Sanger Theater, yep.
Which has fabulous
love
acoustics.
Performing there. Yeah, it's great for singers. Every singer who comes into town and sings there, they come out on stage and kind of test it out at the first rehearsal. And they're always like, oh, yeah, this is good.
So are you in rehearsal now for La Traviata?
We are, actually. Yeah, I just spent yesterday with the orchestra most of the day.
It is a live orchestra. So
yes.
Is that the symphony? The
Pensacola Symphony?
Yep.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, they play so beautifully. So we've been in rehearsal for about a week now all together. Of course, everybody learns their roles. Where they are, they learn them on their own, and then we come and put them together.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
In 2 weeks, we put it together,
Oh, I see. Yep. That's interesting.
It's a quick process.
I guess so. Well, that's why it's professional.
Exactly.
They already know their line.
This is their job.
This is what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. So what's your favorite part about this particular piece? Is there a section or a moment? What is it that you love about this?
I mean, opera is dramatic.
No.
So
stop it.
I mean, the love story is beautiful. I love that. But my favorite part of this opera is Act 3 when she's dying and all of that stuff is happening. I think the music just is some of the most incredible music, and mm-hmm. it's so intimate and quiet, and then it has moments where it really swells and then a really dramatic ending when she dies in D-flat minor, which is one of the most dark, sad keys you can think of.
You lose yourself in it if you let yourself just get immersed in the music. I sometimes will sit and just close my eyes, even though it's always a beautiful, you do a beautiful job with the scenery and the visual picture, but sometimes with the orchestra and the voices, and they'll take it, it takes you somewhere.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense? It takes you somewhere else, and that scene.
Yeah, and especially in Act Three, I mean, one of my favorite things, the way that Verdi wrote Violetta and the vocal writing, it's just so exposed and fragile, and you can really feel that she's kind of slipping away just in the way that he wrote her music, and it's really incredible.
Okay, we're talking about La Traviata. We have Cody here, who is Martin, who is the music director at Pensacola Opera. So if you have a question or a comment, please text it in at 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Cody is an expert on opera, no doubt about that. So this season is two shows. That, of course, we have La Traviata, which is the more traditional, as we would say, and then Oklahoma. I don't know if there's a person on the planet doesn't know at least the opening song.
We could keep listing them. I mean, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, yes. Many a New Day, the Oklahoma, the title number.
Right?
I mean, it just goes on and on, all these songs that you've heard. And there's love story, conflict, there's
dancing,
big dances. Yeah, exactly.
So are they going to do the dancing and everything
too?
Yeah,
so we have dancing in both shows this year, which is really exciting. So Traviata, we have some dancers from the ballet joining us in Act Two.
Oh, how wonderful.
They'll really add to that scene. And then in Oklahoma, we have some wonderful dancers coming to us from the theater department at UWF, choreographed by Brenda Hamilton. So
I love the collaborations.
Yeah, it's going to be really
great. UWF is really wonderful. So I'm kind of curious, just because I know Oklahoma myself, being in the theater world and musical theater, what would you say is the sort of difference between the musical theater presentation and then the opera presentation, or are they kind of the same?
Well, in our world, the main difference is that there's dialogue in the musical.
Ah, okay.
So we're using opera singers for all of the roles in Oklahoma. So it's and in Rodgers and Hammerstein, these musicals, when they were premiered on Broadway, they weren't using mics because, you know, this premiered in the 40s.
Right.
So they weren't using mics. So they were written for these voices that knew how to sing and fill the room. So that's why they're so good for opera singers.
Interesting.
And so our cast is full of opera singers doing the roles. The main difference is going to be dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. And I often see friends sometimes in the operas that are local too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a fun thing. How does that work?
Yeah. So are you talking about the opera chorus?
Yeah. I've seen occasionally, I go, oh, there's so and so.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
They're
yeah.
in the crowd or the ensemble.
Yeah, the opera chorus is like such a big part of the production.
Yeah.
For each show, we have between 24 and 30. People, and they're all local, they're all volunteers, and they all just are there because they love to be on stage. They love to get into the costumes and become part of the scene.
It's pageantry.
They sing really well, and they're always game to kind of do anything the director asks them to, and it's so much fun working with them.
I love it. We're talking with Cody, who is with the Pensacola Opera. So if you have opportunities for adults, what about teenagers or young people? Can they be part of the opera too? And if they wanted to somehow get started with it, what would you be your dress?
Yeah, so if you just want to kind of experience it, we do a student dress rehearsal for high school and up.
Oh, you do?
College students on Wednesday nights, the week of the show.
Oh, how neat.
And those tickets are, highly discounted tickets, and they can come with teachers or with parents. And
so this would be the Wednesday before the Wednesday, opening.
Yep, okay. So for this one, it'll be the 21st.
Okay.
And it's the full production. You know, it's a rehearsal, but hopefully by the final dress rehearsal, we're running through the show.
Right.
So, very rare instances we may stop, but usually it's a full run through and they get to see the sets, the costumes, lighting, orchestra, singers.
Well, everything. I love to watch rehearsals, especially when they stop, because it gives you a sort of that insider's
behind
view.
The scenes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of fun. I don't know. I think that's kind of special myself. But so that is that. I love that. So we have La Traviata, which is going to be January 23rd.
And 25th.
And the 25th. Then Oklahoma is March 13th and 15th. But that's not all you do throughout the year. Can you talk a bit about some of the other things that the opera does coming up now in 2026? There's so many different things.
Yeah, we do a lot. We have a whole tour to schools and libraries. We have a children's opera that we tour around. We also go to middle and high schools and teach them about opera.
What's the children's opera?
I'm this not year familiar it's Cinderella.
Oh.
Yeah. So this year it's a very well-known story, which is a lot of fun, but it's a new arrangement by a friend of mine, Josh Borth.
Do you need a wicked stepmother?
Maybe, yeah. You'll have to audition, though.
I'm not that much of a singer, but I can certainly do a cackle.
We also do a bunch of community concerts. We have a monthly free program called Brown Bag Opera at the Opera Center.
And I love that. Let's talk about a bit about that, because that kind of opens it up for
folks. That's fine. It's just a lunchtime. It's at noon on a Tuesday, usually the last Tuesday of the month. This month it's on the 20th. It's the week of the show. You can bring your lunch. You can just enjoy some music by our studio artists who will sing, and it's free. And we always have a great turnout, so we're thankful for that.
Well, kudos to you, because I heard from several friends who were at Jackson's over the holidays that we had several of the companies singing.
Yes,
right?
We had some choristers who were caroling at Jackson's, which is a lot of fun.
In Charles Dickens
exactly.
type outfits, right?
Very Christmassy.
Very Christmassy. And that's such I love that y'all do that. That's such a wonderful bonus to having all this talent in the area.
Yeah, we have other events too. We do, we'll be back at Jackson's with our studio artists on February 5th for Dinner and an Aria, which is an evening event. It's, you make a dinner reservation and you'll get a little singing alongside it, which is a lot of fun. We do that every year.
Pre-Valentine's, I think.
Yep. And then we also have next month coming up Bourbon and Broadway, which is at the Museum of Commerce. And
it's how fun.
Bourbon tasting paired with a whole program of Broadway. So,
okay.
Yeah. It's all sides of opera.
I see. That's amazing. And sometimes we put opera in a box.
Right.
In a way. And it's not that. Yeah. There's so many different versions of it.
We do it all. Opera singers have to be very flexible and adaptable.
Talk a bit about the training that's involved with an opera singer. What qualifies? I mean, we're familiar with the Domingo and Pavarotti and the greats, but I'm curious, when a young person discovers that they have a talent, how do you go down that path?
There's so much training involved, but also it requires patience too, because you can't really start training your voice until it has matured to a point where it's able to do what it needs to do.
Right.
So most singers kind of discover during college that, oh, this is something I'd like to do, and then they start training, and it's continuous work through the rest of your career. I mean,
it never stops.
You always are working. They're always getting as much experience as they can. The studio artists we have here are at the beginning of their careers, so they have finished, most of them have master's degrees, and they're kind of done with school, and they're just starting out. So it's a whole process and building blocks. And
what is a studio artist when you say that?
So if you kind of think of them as almost paid interns, I mean, this is their full-time job, but they're still learning, and they're getting experience through performance, and they get individual coachings and voice lessons, and just so many opportunities to learn new arias, and they do the children's opera, and they're in the main stage production. So they really get to... They become known throughout the community.
I was going to say, it sounds very immersive.
Exactly, yeah. They're here for about 6 months.
Wow, okay, that's exciting. Yeah. But that's the thing, too, that separates you from some other of the organizations, because it's a professional organization.
Yeah.
So you're bringing in people who are very, very, very talented.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're very fortunate. I mean, the studio artists we get are always amazing. The main stage guest artists we have are great, and... Of course, we get to work with the orchestra, who is just incredible.
Well, La Traviata is the one coming up first, so let's get into how do we get tickets. You said there's subscription, but if I just wanted to go to one evening or one weekend.
Yeah, if you just wanted to go to one, you can buy them through our website, or you can call the opera office directly, or you can go to the Sanger, or you can go to Ticketmaster. You have your options.
Okay.
It's a little, I will say, the fees are a little cheaper if you call the Opera Center directly over the phone.
Mm-hmm. And if you go right to the box office, that eliminates some fees too, correct?
Right, go right to the Opera Center in person. Exactly.
And where's that located?
It's on Tarragona Street, 75 South Tarragona.
So you could stop there, or you can go to the Sanger box office, of course. And then tickets to PensacolaOpera.com or .org?
.com.
.com, okay. Yes. PensacolaOpera.com.
And you also should look into, you can make a whole evening or morning of it. So if you're coming on Friday night, we have, we do a pre-fixed dinner at V. Paul's. Starts at 4:45.
Nice.
And it's kind of, all-inclusive, one price for the dinner, and it's timed so that you'll have plenty of time to finish your dinner and then go to the show.
Oh, how nice.
And you make those reservations directly through the restaurant, And then on Sunday, we have our Jackson's Champagne Brunch.
Oh.
Which is a full brunch menu. It's $65, includes the mimosas and everything. And we'll also have a little presentation from our artistic director before the show.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. And that's, it's a great, way to just, you know, get downtown a little early, not worrying about finding parking last minute.
Yeah.
You go enjoy your brunch, have some mimosas, and then walk over to the theater and see the show at 2.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Just to make a whole experience of it. That sounds great.
And that fills up. So if you you want to come to the brunch on Sunday, you should
buy that
sooner rather than later.
Okay, we get those tickets now. So we're talking with Cody again, Cody Martin, who is the music director at Pensacola Opera. If you have a question or comment, 850-437-1620. And if you just joined us, gosh, it's a new year, 2026. We're kicking off all kinds of things now. And up next is the first production, La Traviata. What does that mean, by the way?
It means The Fallen Woman.
Ooh.
Which tells you what it's about.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I did not realize that because it sounds pretty.
It sounds pretty. It is a pretty word. Yeah.
It sounds
glad. So Verdi originally was going to call the opera Violetta, which is her name. But I'm glad he called it La Traviata because it's much more descriptive about what the story is going to be about.
Very interesting.
So Violetta, just in a nutshell, she's a well-known courtesan in Paris, and she's dying of tuberculosis throughout the opera.
Right.
And she meets Alfredo, falls in love. There's some family drama. They end up having to separate themselves. And then in her final moments, when she's kind of on her deathbed dying, he comes to her side. And they, of course, have always been in love with each other. And they declare their love and talk about how they're going to leave Paris together. And it doesn't happen because...
Oh, Cody.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
It's a journey. But
it's got everything. It's got light moments. It's got heartbreak. Lots of love. Yeah,
that's the part I like,
exactly.
The love part. So that is La Traviata, and that'll be coming on January 23rd and 25th with this Pensacola Symphony, which is exciting. Special guest artists coming in, and our local artists as well, and then Oklahoma. So there might be someone listening this morning who, I know this sounds outrageous, has never seen Oklahoma. What is Oklahoma about? It's not football.
No, it's not football.
It's not football. So talk about that.
It's
story.
You know, it takes place during the frontier period. So it's these people who are moving to Oklahoma and starting this community starting this life.
Settlers,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And it just follows the love story between Lori and Curly, who are young and in love and working their way through it. And you know, there's the villain or the other guy, Judd, who tries to get in the way, but it doesn't happen. And so it's got a lot of those light moments. And like we said, there's so much. Big chorus scenes and dancing, and the sets are going to be so beautiful. The production for that is amazing.
Now, where did the sets come from?
So for Oklahoma, they're coming from Indiana University, which
sounds
interesting to say that it's from a school, but if you know Indiana, their stage is modeled off of the Metropolitan Opera. So
they're one of the premier opera programs in the country, correct?
So, and they have beautiful sets, and these are designed by a man named Stephen Kemp, who we've done... We did his La Boheme production a few years ago, if you saw that.
I did.
He's just a beautiful designer.
Oh, great.
All the sets are really amazing. So the Oklahoma's, you know, it's got a lot of really great lighting effects.
Neat.
And a nice backdrop of the frontier.
Well, it's outdoorsy feeling. And that's perfect for spring, which the timing will be
lots of corn, too. Get ready for the corn.
Corn has good corn. Got it. And that'll be on March 13th and 15th. And it's the music's by Richard Rodgers and the book and lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein. There's a whole litany of
that
music.
Duo. This was their first collaboration.
Was it really?
Yes.
Wow.
Not exactly. They did a little thing when they were at Columbia, back when they were in college. Very briefly worked together. This was their first like full-scale musical that they did together was Oklahoma. And it really... obviously catapulted them to
no question
what was going to be all of the Oklahoma Carousel,
trying to think of all
Cinderella
the
they can go on and on.
You can't miss it. I'm excited about this season because they're two of my favorites personally, so I'm very excited to see the shows. So if I wanted to volunteer or get involved with the opera, if I'm not a singer, how could I do that? What could are there ways I could help out?
Absolutely.
Or sponsor
we're always
or
looking
volunteer
yeah
or,
I mean, We always welcome sponsorships, of course. You could always, we have volunteer opportunities throughout the season at all of our events. We have somebody there who's, you know, handing out pamphlets or taking people's names as they come in the door and stuff like that. So yeah, anytime, if you go to our website, PensacolaOpera.com, it'll have all of that information and contact, and there's a direct sponsorship link if you want to donate something.
Well, you have a beautiful program that you give out. So if a sponsor wanted to be in that program,
yeah, absolutely,
now would be the time to reach out to you. Yeah.
It's a little late for this year, but for next year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But if you do want to sponsor the opera or get tickets, then you just go to PensacolaOpera.com and you can get all the information there. But I like the idea of volunteering. I think it would be a lot of fun just to be around it. You
know? We've got some great volunteers, and they always have a good time, and they get to know each other, and it becomes a little group.
Our groupies. Opera groupies.
Exactly.
There is such a thing. I love that.
Yeah.
Talking with Cody, he is the music director for the Pensacola Opera. What's your favorite part of your job, Cody, as music director? Because you get, sounds like as music director, you get to do the fun stuff. As executive director, you have to do the billing and the funding and all that. But as music director.
Yes. Well, you know, my favorite part is just the arts community in Pensacola is so special. And I love being a part of it. You know, I've been here for about 8.5 years now.
Really?
And
that long already? Gosh.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is, for me, is I've gotten to know the musical community. So when we go to our first orchestra rehearsal and I work with them for the first time every show, it's like, you know, these are friends I've been playing with since 2017 now.
Yeah.
And I know how they play, and I know like what they need as a conductor. And I know.
How wonderful.
Yeah. It's so much fun being a part of a community like that. And I love going to the symphony concerts and seeing their other stuff that they do besides what they do with us. And it's just really amazing.
So as music director, you coordinate the entire production. Is that correct?
The musical stuff, yeah. Well, yeah, so we're working
on... So that's pretty much, what is that, 97%?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we have to work on getting the orchestra parts ready to go, and we have to, any cuts that we're making in the music, we have to make that coordinated, and I rehearse the chorus, so I get them ready before we start staging, and
And one part about singing, too, maybe this gets a little too technical, but do you make adaptations for particular artists' voices and the keys that they're singing, or do you have to stay true
Not
to
so
the,
much in opera. In opera, you usually stay to the keys
to
that it.
It
was, yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Interesting. Yeah, see, that's my musical theater.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. I know.
Sorry about that.
I know, musicals, you're like, can I do it in D, please?
Yes. Half an lower, please. Half an octave.
It'd be a little more difficult to do that in opera because all the music runs together.
Right,
so it'd be hard to shift just part of it.
You just got to step up and do it, right?
But there are some operas that have like standard transpositions.
Oh, really?
So like in La Boheme, Rodolfo's first aria can be done down a whole step.
Oh, really?
And some people do it.
Interesting.
Yeah, so every now and then you'll be like, oh yeah, that's the lower key.
I gotcha. So do you have a favorite opera singer?
Favorite singer of all time is Beverly Sills.
I actually got to hear her one time at the Met in New York.
Jealous.
I did. That was one of the treats my
aunt
took me.
Which opera was it?
I knew you were going to ask me that. And I was so little.
What did she do? She did a Don Pasquale. She did.
I'm trying to remember now. This was years ago. But I
remember because she did a Traviata there.
It was my first. It might have been Traviata because it was my very first opera my aunt took me. And I'd never been to the opera, and I'd never been to the Met, and it was it was beautiful. Lincoln
Center, you know how the Met kind of made a big mistake and didn't let her make her debut there for a long time.
I did not know that.
It's a whole story.
Okay, well, we have to come back and tell that story. I love it.
So she wasn't singing at the Met in her, like, prime.
Interesting.
But then she went over and did this opera in at La Scala called The Siege of Corinth, which was this new configuration of an opera, and kind of became a star over there, and then her debut was when they brought that opera to the Met.
Interesting.
Yeah. But she, you know, she worked at City Opera for a long time and sang every role at New York City Opera for
The
bulk of her career.
I love it. Okay, we've been talking with Cody Martin. We've got a minute or so left, so let's review. This is going to be a fabulous year, 2026, with the Pensacola Opera. First up, La Traviata, the dates and how they can get tickets.
Yep, La Traviata, January 23rd and 25th, and you can get tickets at PensacolaOpera.com or by calling the Opera Center, which is 850-433-6737.
And then next up, we have
Oklahoma on March 13th and 15th, and you get a subscription for both shows starting at $46.
That's fantastic.
Amazing.
That's a great price. Cody, thank you so much. I know you're busy. You're in the midst of rehearsals right now, so I appreciate you coming in to talk about the Pensacola Opera. Thank you so much for all that you do and for everybody there for bringing this great art to our city.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for talking.
Okay, thanks so much.